sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and I'm here with Becky Ivins, team leader of the aforementioned Becky Ivins team.
Good morning. Can we say Good Becky morning. Ivins one more time? I'm needing it today.
I think we'll say it probably twice, but that's it.
There you
that's
go.
It. Yep, then we're okay. Done.
Well, thank you, Mark Carr. Merry Christmas to everybody.
We're almost there.
We are.
Amazing.
This is called Panic Saturday.
And I'm part of that.
Yeah, you're part of it?
You bet.
It is. If you don't have it by now, there's a small chance it'll get here before Christmas if you order it online.
Yeah.
But I think the stores will be a little bit busier this weekend than typical.
I ordered my last thing off Amazon yesterday that's supposed to arrive on Monday. And then I have just one or two more things, and I think I'm done. I think
you are.
Yes.
Well, I ordered two things off of Amazon yesterday at about 10 or 11 o'clock, and they were delivered about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
Good
We're
night.
Talking like 4 to 5 hours after I ordered them online.
Wow.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I love the distribution centers, so that's wonderful. Let's say what we're talking about today. Are you ready? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mortgages.
Fun.
I mean, we love the person that doesn't really have to get a mortgage.
Yeah.
However,
For
the rest of us, the mortgages are very important. And we're going to be covering a few different things. I want to give you our phone number.
840-1000.
It's 405-840-1000. Call in because guess what I found this week?
What'd you find?
So a little handful of certificates for lunches at Casa Perico.
Mm. Oh.
I thought we were out of those certificates, and I found some.
Oh.
So they were stuffed into a little checkbook. So I found them. So if you call in with a question or comment, I will be mailing you a certificate for a free lunch at Casa Perico's.
Ooh.
So that's our favorite place to eat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So okay, Matt McLean, SWBC Mortgage. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And may God bless Dean Riddell this week.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that are dealing with everyday life things like funerals and such.
Oh.
And we know two people, Dean and a relative of mine, they're dealing with a death.
Yeah.
And so our prayers are with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Matt, thanks for coming in because you and Dean are neck and neck in your knowledge of the mortgage industry. We don't really deal with novices.
No. You can't. Here's what I have found is novices have a tough time keeping up with Becky Ivins. There's your one more mention. You only have one to go.
Well, and I will tell you that we love dealing with novice realtors because we know how it's supposed to be done, and we can help without being pushy or bossy.
Yeah.
We just want the deal done correctly. So, Matt, we're going to talk about mortgages. We're going to look at 2020 in retrospect. Could be the only good thing about 2020 here.
Very
true. Our mortgage market. And then we're going to do a little prediction on 2021.
We do have some 2021 forecasts, yes.
So, good morning, Matt McLean, SWBC Mortgage.
Thank you.
So, Matt, this has been a busy year for you?
It, I was thinking about this last night, knowing that I was going to be on your show and, how I would define it in a number of words, but, historical.
Yeah.
Bittersweet. The bitterness being the COVID and the hurt and pain that has come with that. But, and the sweetness, I mean, to be in our industry, what a blessing. It's just been absolutely incredible.
I know that, Becky, you have said through the years here that, when the market becomes unpredictable, that's the time when great realtors and great lenders rise to the top.
Well, it's when the market and the industry itself is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I love it when things happen that most people would think are negative, because we have the skill to deal with that. People are still going to buy houses, even if interest rates go up. They're still going to buy houses, even if appraisal rates are unpredictable. Mm-hmm. They're still going to buy houses, and they're going to need to sell houses, whether or not a big company closes its doors and someone's out of a job. There's still a housing market. And to have the expertise, it really feels good to be able to help people through that, because you don't, it's not just a little flat road. It is uphill, downhill, over the rugged stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of things through the years, through this year, and Matt, maybe you've experienced this also in lending, like things have taken just a little bit longer. Things like people getting back to you, like I'm dealing with a roof that I had to call Robbins Roofing yesterday to get some expertise on. And the guy that I'm dealing with, the rep, said, well, our home office is in New Jersey and it's closed down. Like, you know, so.
No, not Robbins Roofing.
Not Robbins Roofing, but I was having to.
Roofing material rep.
Correct. Right. And so, like, all of these little humps that you've had to deal with, the expertise of it in getting around and getting things done.
A lot of moving parts. And yeah. You're right. Our industry is, I mean, it is contracted. I saw our good friend David Patrick on Monday. You know, we just looked at each other and shook our heads. Like, you know, it's just absolutely incredible. It has been a different year, you know, in terms of those issues. But again, I would reiterate, it's been a blessing.
Yeah. So, and when we talk today on the show, I'm going to ask you guys to kind of join me in doing, instead of just it's been a difficult year, it's been challenging, it's been good year, whatever it is, let's use some specifics. Because everybody knows it's 2020, right?
Right.
Have you seen the elf on the shelf for 2020?
No.
It is kind of like a little demon.
With a mask.
Right.
Is it a Chucky doll?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, fire in the eyes and stuff like that. So, but specifically, Matt, how has 2020 been different in the mortgage industry?
Well, a number of ways. I would say, you know, from a documentation perspective, we're having to do things where we could go with a 90-day old document, for instance, a bank statement or a pay stub. We literally are now documenting pay stubs up until the day of closing. And in some cases, we have to circle back around after closing. So documentation would be one. Mark mentioned turn times and wait times, and you know, the appraisers are contracted today and taking longer than what they normally would. And then, you know, the kind of the white elephant, the forbearance. I looked up some national numbers yesterday through the Mortgage Bankers Association, and they're estimating that 2.7 million people nationally are in some sort of forbearance plan, current forbearance plan. So that doesn't include those that have completed forbearance.
Now, Matt, I thought most of the forbearance was supposed to have ended like around October, November time frame.
Well, that's where it started.
Uh-huh.
And you know, typically it's a 6-month window, perhaps extended for 12 months. But, you know, these are clients or customers, mortgage holders that are currently active on a forbearance plan nationally.
Yeah.
But still, it's a big number, 2.7 million.
Becky, historically, like when you see that kind of number, will those houses come onto the market in this next year typically?
Well, I've been selling real estate a very long time, over 40 years. We have not had mortgage forbearance. This
really?
Is new. Yes, on a.
I thought it was in the 1980s. We had it also.
Well,
did we? We had mortgage people. We had people behind on mortgages.
Certainly not the scale that we're dealing with.
Some concessions that were made, and some late fees forgiven and stuff, but I don't recall. Maybe there was. Was there, Matt, a nationwide forbearance like on FHA and VA loans?
Yeah, I mean, the forbearance has been around for a while, but much more modified than what we're seeing today.
So it's different.
You know, typically a deferral of payments, and then they have 2 or 3 months, and then would put them on a repayment plan.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're seeing those extended now, like I said, 6 to 12 months. Instead of having to pay those back, they're capitalizing those to the end of the loan. A lot of enhancements have been made.
Right.
Really,
and
this year.
Nationwide. I mean, if you've got an FHA loan, you're eligible for a forbearance. And you really don't have to show that you've lost your job or anything.
No. It's simply.
That's not a good thing.
It's not. It's simply a matter of signing up.
And we're going to talk about the consequences of the forbearance program when we return.
Right after this with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. KTOK News Radio 1000. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and we're here with Matt McLean from SWBC. Matt, what's your license number?
License number 119-7740.
There you go. Write it down. If you want to call in and be a part of the show and have a question about lending, 840-1000, 405-840-1000. We'd love to hear from you. Ask some great questions. So we're talking about 2020 and what has happened within the lending atmosphere and where we're going in 2021. And I'm excited about 2021.
Well, and we're talking about specifically residential real estate lending, because there's a whole lot of other stuff out there on lending as well. But we had mentioned forbearance, and that should be something that we, at least, we weren't planning to do this show on forbearance, but it's kind of important that we do at least touch on forbearance, because this has not been widely available. We talked on the break about, forbearance during the oil crash that we had, the bust back in the 80s. Individually, you could show, well, I don't have a job. The company I worked for went out of business. Different things that would make you qualify for forbearance. This time, but due to the pandemic, it's just a blanket statement that if you need a forbearance, you can get it. You don't have to show any hardship. The hardship is the pandemic, and that's different. But now, what's the result of that forbearance? If you are in forbearance or know someone who is in forbearance, they need to listen up here. Matt, what is the result of this?
Yeah, a great question. So at some point, that forbearance plan is going to end. And typically, right, and I use that word because it is a moving target. So, you know, under a plan, what you would typically see is they're skipping payments. They're not making payments for a certain period. And at the end of that period, the payments are due. And they're due in full. So, for instance, if your payment's $500 a month and you're on a three-month forbearance, at the end of that forbearance, you owe the $1,500. Now, think about that.
And most people's payments are more than
$500. Right. And what percentage of people, I mean, they're in that plan for some reason, hopefully a good reason. You know, are they actually going to have the resources to pay that in full? So, typically not. And then they will take those payments, usually, and add them on to the end of the loan.
Capitalize those payments at the end of the loan.
Right.
And you still pay more interest because you're paying interest the whole time.
That is correct.
It's just you don't have to make those payments for 3 months or 6 months or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, they don't go away. You're absolutely right.
And they're due and payable in full, unless you can work out a capitalization, I
capitalization,
guess.
You know, sometimes you'll see a payment plan, like make a payment and a half or, you know, something like that. But again, I go back to the affordability and the budget issue. They're there for a reason. And
if you have had to not make your house payments for some reason, chances of you having the extra money to make a payment and a half, right, coming out of a forbearance is not very likely.
You're correct.
And how does the forbearance affect your credit?
Good question. It will have an impact on your credit. It will show up on your credit report. I've lost my train of thought.
Well, okay. There is something called, I call it CAVERS. Some people call it CAVERS, which is a database that the federal government uses to keep track of people who are delinquent on federally backed loans, which would be FHA loans, VA loans,
USDA,
student loans.
Student loans. That's the one we've come.
SBA loans. You know, if you haven't, if you're not going to pay back that SBA loan, that EIDL, they call it loan, emergency disaster loan, then you're going to go on this database. And if you're on that database, you cannot get another federally backed loan. So if you need to get a student loan and you were delinquent on your payment, you can't do it.
Correct.
And if you're delinquent on a student loan and put you in CAVERS, that database, then you cannot get a VA loan or an FHA loan. You got to deal with this originally. Now, did I tell you about this, Matt, about calling HUD and talking to them? And I have a friend who actually is a friend of Ben Carson's. And we tried to get Ben Carson directly because I thought, somebody needs to know about this.
Right.
Because you have people who are doing the right thing. They sell their big house, and because they're down to one income where they used to have two. This is a pretty common occurrence during this COVID thing. And then they buy a smaller house that they can afford the payment on. However, because they're in forbearance on the first house, they're in CAVERS, they cannot get another loan. And this, it showed them as delinquent, not in forbearance. Well, Ben was down in Florida, Ben Carson was down in Florida working with the doctors on the vaccine thing.
Okay.
So we could not get him. So I called HUD and kept working my way up and called Senator Langford's office to get a liaison. And we worked up to the senior policy advisor at HUD. And I said, listen, this isn't just for our little customer or our little customers, but this is going to be a big deal. There are a lot of people in forbearance. They're doing the right thing, selling their big house, getting a smaller house they can afford for right now, and they can't get the loan because they're on in forbearance. And forbearance shows they're delinquent, and they're really not delinquent. They went into forbearance.
That's correct. A granted deferral of payment, correct?
Well, turned out there was no code for that in CAVERS that did not show them delinquent. A forbearance showed delinquency. That was back from the 80s because they were delinquent before they were granted the forbearance back then. So I said, well, somebody needs to fix that because we need this. I mean, this isn't just Oklahoma or just Oklahoma City.
Right.
This is going to be a nationwide problem. So he got with his people, and he called me back, and he said, you know, we're aware of this, but nobody knows quite what to do, and we're trying to fix this. I said, well, create a code for forbearance that is different than delinquency so that it can still show up in CAVERS, but it's forbearance. And so they did. Which is awesome. And they did pluck our little people out of CAVERS so that they could get a loan, but they couldn't get a loan immediately.
Right.
They did. They had to pay rent for 12 months on time and have a rental letter showing. And I said, well, that's just not good enough. We've got to do it better. Why do they need to wait 12 months to get a house? They're doing all the right things. So HUD issued a letter saying this is now 3 months. So now it's 3 months.
3 months.
So we've got our little folks are going to close in January. Their 3 months will be over. We're pretty excited about that. Of all the things we've done this year, we asked the team last was it last week or the week before last?
It was the week before, yeah.
On in our team meeting, what is the one client or transaction that you've had that gives you great joy that you did the right thing for them, even if they didn't know you did the right thing for them? Because most of the time, that is that it's kind of conjoined like that. It's kind of like, well, they may not recognize it, but you know you did great things for that client. And that was mine.
Right. And I love that part of real estate, that because their lives are going and they have their own hectic things going on. And that's what we try to do. It's what we do, is that we get all the behind-the-scene things done. And I know, Matt, you guys do that at SWBC. And so
the CARES Act has a lot to do with that. And luckily, the client had read the CARES Act.
Yeah.
And knew it and intelligently discussed it with us. We've got a lot more to talk about. And we're going to kind of talk about some predictions for 2021 when we return.
On News Radio 1000 KTOK, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking with Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage, and we're talking about lending, looking back at 2020 and then looking ahead at 2021.
We've been talking about something, so let's define it.
It's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. And I'm telling you, Robbins Roofing was my hero in this past couple of days. I was dealing with another roofing company that I had to deal with because it was on the buy. We just deal with multiple companies, and I needed some advice. Right.
Yeah, and somebody had put a roof on that was defective.
It was. We had a defective roof, and I was getting all sorts of mixed signals. And so I called Robbins Roofing and said, just give me some advice. How do I handle this? And they gave me a direct contact I could reach out and get it resolved, and got it resolved. So
we
it was great.
Love Larry and Jennifer Robbins at Robbins Roofing. Okay, our word of the day today is really an acronym. How do you say it, Matt? Is it Cavers?
Cavers.
Cavers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is. You guys listen up. You're going to be smarter than the average folk after this.
I'm going to learn something,
right?
I think.
Okay. It's C-A-I-V-R-S. Cavers. It's a database that keeps track of defaults, delinquencies, and foreclosures related to federal debt. If the CAVERS search shows you're delinquent on a government debt, you won't be able to get a new loan until you're no longer delinquent on the federal debt. And in some cases, until a certain amount of time passes. So, CAVERS, most people don't know that even exists.
Exactly.
But it's pretty important in the mortgage industry. And I mentioned that to another lender, something about, can you check and see if they're on CAVERS before we go forward? Because I didn't see any sense in the buyer spending their money on an appraisal, spending their money on inspections, home inspection, a termite inspection, packing up and getting ready to move, and then at the last minute someone checking CAVERS, you know? Because it can be on CAVERS without it being on your credit report.
So, Matt, when does that get checked in the timeline?
Yeah, really early in the game. So once we have a completed application, that's one of the initial reports. So along with the credit report, we're pulling the CAVERS report as well.
Your company does.
Yeah.
SWBC does that in a timely manner.
Yeah, because we've had the
had the opposite.
Yeah, where they didn't pull CAVERS until right at the end, and then student loans.
That could be a problem.
Yeah, right. The buyer said that they didn't know existed. They were complete default.
And there can be a mistake on CAVERS, too, but you're not going to get past it until you solve it.
Right.
They're not just going to take that out of there.
Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that it's, because that was the first that I had heard of. We had talked about cavers, but I'd never dealt with it.
Well, we until don't that. Get, that's the frustrating part is we don't get to deal with it. Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, being one who needs to be in control of everything, I'm not the one who gets to deal with cavers. I've got to depend on my lender to do that, who depends on the federal government to keep it up to date. And so it can be frustrating when it's out of your control.
Yeah.
But CAVRS, the database that tracks defaults, delinquencies, and foreclosures relating to federal debt. So that is our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing. So, Matt, you want to do some forecast?
Yeah, so let's talk numbers.
Okay. What were interest rates basically in 2020?
In 2020, the interest rate on average was less than 3%.
On a 30-year mortgage.
On a 30-year mortgage, less than 3%. So to give you some historical, in 2019, the average was 3.5%. So down well over half a percent. We're projected in 2021 for interest rates to average in the 3.2 to 3.3 range. So really not,
three
not
and a quarter.
Very much, right.
Okay. And how about how many homes have sold? Do you have any data on anything like I know our inventory is very low, has been all year. It was since the summer of 2019. I consider it pretty drastically low. I comped out a property yesterday for some friends of mine from church, and they're going to put their house on the market. I had to go outside the school system, which is, by the way, one of the biggest school systems. It was Mustang School System. I had to go outside Mustang School System to find a competition for this property. And I found two in Yukon and two in Putnam City. That was it. There was no other competition anywhere close to what this house was.
Huh.
Which is a three-bed, two-bath, two-car in the price range of the mid-hundreds, you know, 150s or so. So there's just not enough property on the market.
Right.
So do you have any data on?
Yeah, and again, these are national numbers, Becky. So I wasn't able to get to Oklahoma numbers.
Well, our Oklahoma numbers don't come out until end
right.
of January.
So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about where we are in 19 and where we'll wind up in 20. So these are housing starts, right? Single family,
right.
New home starts. So in 2019, we were at 1.2 million new homes built nationally. It went up in 2020 to 1.3 million, and it's projected to go up to 1.4 million new home starts in 2021. That's very encouraging.
You lose perspective sometime when you use the million point something.
I know.
When we were looking at property in Florida for an investment, a couple of my kids went with me, and they were going, well, yeah, but that's just 0.1 more than this one, and it's such a better house. I'm going, you realize that 0.1 is $100,000. So the 0.1 or whatever, the 0.2
right,
or whatever
right.
is 100,000. That's a lot of homes.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we talk in national numbers. It's almost mind-boggling to me. You know, we're going to exceed in total originations nationally, we're going to exceed $3 trillion. Now, I have a hard time grasping that. Right now, in 2019, we're at $2.2 trillion. So that just shows you the increase in volume we experience, and that's consistent for us in Oklahoma. I think certainly consistent for our branch.
Okay, now the number you gave us a while ago, was that new home starts?
That was new home starts.
The number you gave us of the trillion.
That is the dollar volume of mortgage originations.
But not just on new homes.
Not just new homes.
Okay.
That is purchase and refinance volume.
Now, of the homes sold, the mortgages, do you have how many homes that that is? I'm just wondering, is it because the price of homes has gone up so much, or because the there's just more transactions?
Yeah, so I do have volume of homes. So in 19, we're at 7.7 million homes.
Okay.
And that includes purchase homes as well as refinance homes, right?
Right.
In 2020, that volume, so it went from 7.7 million to 11.1 million in total.
Right.
Homes. Of that, 55% was refinance activity. So
wow.
45% would have been purchase activity. So let's talk about purchase, right?
Okay.
We'll talk about purchase. So 4.3 million in 2019, 4.9 million in 2020, and we're projected, very encouraging, to do 5.3 million purchase homes in 2021.
Okay. So
an increase.
Starts going up, the inventory goes down. That's why there's no inventory. You
right.
guys just keep buying houses. So
we like that.
Right? Yeah.
That's why I was looking at our local MLS numbers, and you know, we overall there's a at the end of or the beginning of December, there was a month and a half of inventory total. But then if you get to the average or the median home price, it went right at 200,000. If you go between that 150 to 240 mark, which is the large number, there's less than a month of inventory.
Wow.
And
that.
A lot of that's rural. It's not like the metro mm-hmm. subdivision, stuff like that. So there's just not that many houses out there. So when I give you a smoking hot deal and I say it's going to sell by the end of the day,
yes.
It does.
Right.
And it sells on multiple offers by the end of the day. We don't overprice the homes just because there's too few of them, because they won't appraise if you do.
Right.
You have to be really skillful at finding value and knowing condition and knowing what – there's different types of values to a property. There's what a buyer's going to pay. There's what an insurance company's going to insure it for. There is what the taxes assessor mm-hmm. is going mm-hmm. to value it at and tax you on. And there is what an appraiser is going to appraise it to be for a loan. So there's lots of types of value to be talked about. We're going to come back. We're going to have a smoking hot deal for you. So you need to listen up. If you know anybody looking for a house, just stay tuned with more.
On Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. We're talking about lending in 2020 and then 2021. Matt, what's our numbers for 20? Give us one more as we close shop here.
Just to sum it up, I mean, the 2020 year has just been phenomenal. And just a big thank you to you guys, one, for letting us partner with you. Number two, to our clients and trusting us with either their home purchase or the refinance. But 2021 looks to be better than 2020. Refinance activity will drop slightly. Purchase activity is projected to go up. So if you're thinking about it, if you're still on the fence, give Mark and Becky and their team a call, and we're there to pre-qualify you.
How about if they don't have a down payment, though?
You know what? We have programs. So we just encourage people to call us. We'll sit down with them either face-to-face or we'll do something over a online meeting. And but we do have loan programs that don't require a down payment. We have closing cost assistance loan programs, so we can help people even if they're in that predicament.
Have you heard of this $15,000 from Community Action?
I have not.
Well, it's yet to come to fruition, but we have some oddball lender out there that one of our clients found, and I'm going, this just doesn't make sense to me. But I go into their website, and it looks like they get $14,998 on a little $100,000 house.
Interesting.
So it's interesting. Hmm. It's not a grant. it is a second mortgage, but it's forgiven over a five-year period of time if they have to stay there. So there's a lot of – there's not a down payment assistance program or not a closing cost program. There are several closing cost and down payment assistance.
Absolutely.
And do you have to be a first-time home buyer?
Not always. It depends on the program, but no, not always.
Yeah. I mean, so you can do the – what's it called? The Dream Program?
The Dream Program with Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency. Excellent program. And you do not have to be a first-time homebuyer.
And it, you can get your down payment.
That's correct. 3.5%.
It is
either
harder
down payment
and harder.
Or to, closing cost assistance.
Yeah, it's harder to get sellers to pay all your closing costs nowadays.
That's what we're hearing, yes.
Because last year, like 2019, 91%, I looked at the statistics on this, 91% of that middle price home buyer, the seller paid on average $5,000 in closing costs. Nowadays, like as I was counseling someone yesterday about how can we get the most out of your house, I said, well, you're only going to get a certain amount by appraisal. Mm-hmm. And they were wanting to fix up this house and get carpet, do paint, put light fixtures. I said, but you're not going to, at very most, you're going to recover your cost. They said, no, I think that all the data says you'll double your cost. I said, well, the data is not about Central Oklahoma in December of 2020.
Right.
Right now, yes, you can put carpet in and you'll get your money back. You can paint it and get your money back. But there are plenty of people who will purchase your home without all of that and pay top dollar. And the way to get the biggest bottom line is don't pay closing costs. And if you've got six people making offers, go with the one that doesn't have to have closing costs. So knowing the down payment assistance program and being able to use those really helps. But more and more, that down payment assistance is coming from someone who loves them.
That is correct.
A parent.
Family member gift, right?
Yes. Now, you can't get it from just anybody, down payment assistance. I mean, like a gift from...
No, no, it has to be, you have to be related.
Related. Correct. Now, one time I heard that you could get it from your employer and
you
offer you a down payment
that
assistance.
That is correct, yes.
So you can give a gift from an employer to buy down payment.
Correct.
So I think it's a taxable event, so it comes
as
sort
of income, right?
Bonus, yeah.
Right.
But that's a great way if you're a great employee and you can talk your employer into paying your down payment, that'd be awesome.
So I have to be nicer to you, Becky. Is that what I'm hearing? Is this what this
would
pull?
Be that true? Except that, as you know, you are not. Employed.
I am not. I am self. I am a self-employed in the real estate.
Yeah.
So,
contract
labor.
Yeah. There you go. Independent
well,
contractor.
If you are thinking about making a move in 2021, now's the time to give us a game plan. We'll get together and we'll make it happen. 722-3232 to call Becky Ivan's team. That's 722-3232. And great time just to set up, build a game plan. That way you get the most for your money.
Okay. And then I want you to be able to find Matt McNeil and SWBC Mortgage and any of our other people that we work very closely with and depend on in the real estate business, those peripheral businesses. You can find those by going to BeckyIvans.com. And there's a tab across the top, and it'll say Becky's Favorites. And they don't pay to be on that website. They get there by treating our clients real well. Do you know who we're having on next week?
Who's on next week?
It's the day after Christmas, but it's the last show of the year. We're having Ron Shalott, attorney at law. And Ron is going to come on and talk to us about the laws that have changed in Oklahoma during 2020 and how that is going to affect the real estate business going forward. And he always has several that we're not aware of.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guest.
Yes. And so he's very knowledgeable. So tune in next week and hear the end of the year, kind of the what's happened and the forecast in the law industry. And We'll see you guys. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to each of you listeners out there. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.